we begin another auspicious retreat. This one was titled Revelation of the Real, the Final Secrets of the Simulation and the Self. So there's a lot to be revealed. But before that, I want to welcome our visitors to the ashram. It's a joy to see you and to encounter your presence. And online, the Global Sangha, welcome to everyone who is attending online and those who will attend when it's recorded. And of course, great gratitude for our Sangha here at the ashram, who are supporting this mission to bring light and truth and love and peace and freedom to those who have lost touch with that aspect of the real. So where is this retreat happening? Some would say it's happening in Costa Rica. Some would say it's happening online. Some would say it's happening in an illusory world. But it's happening in the imagination. It's happening in your imagination. But who are you who is imagining it? And who is imagining you imagining it? The higher we allow our vibrational frequency to go, the more we realize that the ego is just a little doll, a puppet. It's dreaming, but its dreams are just projections. Mostly projections of fear and desire and hatred and trauma and repetition of its repertoire of attitudes and karmic enmeshments. But when you break through that doll, then you get to the second one, which is your soul that's dreaming your ego, and your soul has the power to undream your ego. But your soul itself is being dreamed by that supreme real. That's the real we're talking about. The supreme real that is dreaming all of us, all that is, and is the I of every consciousness. So the point, literally, of this retreat, and perhaps you'll say the goal, is to reach the exact center point of consciousness. Since that's where the dream is happening, in the consciousness and its imagination, the center point of total stillness must be where the dream is emanating from. And therefore the intelligence and power of the dreamer, that is your real nature, and that governs the destiny of the character in the dream, is changed radically by the realization that you are that still point of pure presence, and everything else is just unreal imagination. everything is a dream, a simulation of the real, but not real. And everything wistfully disappears. This whole world will soon disappear. And everything, all memories, will be wiped clean. So, why not wipe the memory clean now, while you are consciously awake and aware, and attuned to that infinite intelligence that can dream anew at this very moment, can make all things new, and can release itself from all attachment to the unreal. That's what awakening from the dream means, letting go. If you're not the character in the dream, then none of its cares are your baggage, and you become instantly carefree. That's our natural state. So why carry burdens of care and care for things that aren't even real and miss out on caring for the real, which is salvation? So it's a simple change of attitude that is required. If, like Dylan, you also want to be released. But don't make it a future shall be, because you're already free. Consciousness could never be imprisoned in any bondage except its own belief that it is, because its beliefs are so powerful that they create worlds. The building blocks of worlds are concepts, narratives, and images. That's all this is made of. And it's held together like an atom by the strong force of fear and the weak force of desire. Because desire is a defense against fear. But that's only at the ego level. At the soul level, there's no fear. And when the soul is awakened, it's in a state of divine love. And that's more who you are. It's not the ultimate real, but it's more real. We call it real two. Real one is trauma of the ego. But we can also look at it another way. We come from the absolute that emanates light, and the light transforms into the energy of love, which is then the creative power that brings about life. So that's what we're made of, really, and those are the three levels of our being: light, love, and life. But at the ego level of life, it's not about love. It's about fear and desire and grasping and running away from, and all kinds of activities that are not presence, that are not fully conscious. And so we have to return to full consciousness by eliminating all of the mental chatter that obscures our true nature. The world can be thought of as the result of an information flow. The information that's received by the intellect is transformed into an image of a world and a plot, an unfoldment of potentialities. Because all it is the expression of God's imagination. So you have these three dolls. We have the doll of the ego based on fear and desire, but then we have the bigger doll of love. The problem is the ego will not pass through the barrier of love, because love is what destroys the ego. What the ego does is make love into a projected object of desire and then seek love. But it's never able to reach it because it's projected its own power of love onto another, and therefore wants to be an object that is loved rather than the sun that is shining with the light of love. And that creates then more need, more fear, more lack, more suffering, more karma. So now's the time to be released from all karma. Because as we know, karma's hitting the fan. This is probably the last opportunity, the last short period in which these kinds of gatherings can even be held. So, we are doing what we can to show the easiest way out of the illusion of suffering. But you have to want to come out. And that means to open your heart to unconditional love. If your love is conditional, you can't get out. The heart has to be totally opened. If there's any contraction, then it stops the movement upward. And then from love, if you make it through that passage, then the passage of the light, in which even that zero point of attention is absorbed into the infinite absolute. And from that level of release, there's no one to come back. So the question is, are you ready to return to the light? Or would you rather go through some more hard knocks? Either you dive into the fire of love and of liberation, or you may get burned by the fires on the phenomenal plane that are more and more catching the beings of this world that is itself on fire. And it's on fire because the world being the result of a stream of information that's transmitted by God, and the brain being a transceiver of that the soul uses to perceive the five elements of reality, etc. When that information flow is obstructed by mental chatter, what is perceived becomes a corrupted version of reality. Because certain aspects of the information God is sending into your mind to grasp the true nature of what you're perceiving becomes lost, fuzzy, unclear, misunderstood. And then one's judgment becomes bad, and one makes bad decisions, and one's karma becomes more enmeshed in the dark side of the ego's fear, desire, mold. So we want to be free of any identification, but as the ancient teachers have all talked about, this means technically dying while alive. Now, nothing really dies because the ego is never alive. It's not your body that needs to die. Your body is made of the light of God, although it will disappear, but the light itself and the source of the light, never. The source doesn't either appear or disappear, but it's what you are. But the scene that unfolds will change. And now we're in the final scenes of Kali Yuga, and soon some will perceive a Sat Yuga, if your vibrational frequency has reached a level of total harmony. Love involves harmony. But harmony means that you perceive and appreciate everyone as a manifestation of the one self. And therefore, without any rejection or any projection. And this is the doorway, really, to freedom. Judge not, lest ye be judged. So the mind free from all judgments has a very easy time going into silence and then realizing the love that is the true nature of your heart, that is the center of your being, and then the emanation of the divine light that washes away all the illusion, all the suffering, all the stains, all the malas, all of those limited forms that we have identified with and clung to, and then we're free. But free of the eye that sought the freedom. And are you willing to be free of that eye, or have you given your love to that small individual eye rather than to the great eye who is dreaming all the apparent eyes of the world? And this is why you must know who you are. But first you must know who you love. And love creates union and the elimination of the illusion of separation and duality. So these aren't final secrets in a way, but they are secrets that we must finally get. We must finally grok them completely and know them to be true from within, not just from texts or narratives of teachers, but because we are the real and we leave our imaginary identities and we leave even our symbolic power to deconstruct those identities, because even that must be left behind because it's a power that belongs to an individual analytic consciousness. The self is not a psychological entity. And therefore, when you realize you are not a psychological entity, nor a biological entity, but pure luminous intelligence, then everything is known by intuition, not by linear reason, and certainly not by preconception. So we could say that this is the Apollonian approach. It's very easy. You want to get back here? Just love the light. Simple. Others prefer the Dionysian approach, in which rather than taking the easy path of love, you take the path of learning through karma, learning through intense struggles, some in the field of literal battle, maybe in the field of love that becomes a battle of conflicting egos in a power struggle, and maybe you learn from various kinds of trauma and devastation and loss and despair, and you take it the hard way until you finally decide that you're done. You have experienced everything you came to know in terms of your own egoic structure and the logic that has moved you to engage in all of these struggles, and the beliefs that underlie the ego's identity, and then you let it go. Wounded, but nonetheless free. And then you can utter, you know, Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. You know, that's a way to do it. And that revelation, if it's complete and you never go back to further rounds of MMA fighting, or whatever version you're engaged in your fight club, but when you're done, yes, there's rapture. And you don't have to be a Christian. The rapture is realization that you were never the one who suffered. It was only your icon in the video game from which you learned a great deal, and you've turned all your suffering into wisdom. And then release. So either way is, and most people do both. They go through the Dionysian first, and then you know, with bloody and broken, they find their way somewhere to maybe an ashram and attain the release through love. And then, you know, you have your cake and eat it too. why not enjoy all the possibilities of the illusion of experience? But now's the end of this cycle of time, and it's time for everyone, one way or another, to return to the light. And it's far better to do it voluntarily while alive, so that your body can serve as an instrument of healing and of liberation for others who are seeking that vibrational frequency of peace, really. Vibration actually speaks louder than words these days. Most people can't take in words any longer, and they don't know what they mean, and they don't mostly have meaning. But the original gurus were silent. They were munis, Rishi Munis, they called them, the seers who did not speak, and their silence spoke for them. And soon we will all need to be in that state where it's too late for words and for action, but only for the stillness. Because soon there'll be lockdowns and no one will be able to travel, and there'll be food shortages, and there'll be all of the plagues that they're arranging, and all of the geoengineered storms and all of the wars, ultimately the grand finale of nuclear conflagration. Well, you know, why not leave the matrix and its plane of suffering before all that? And the good news is, when you leave the world, there is no world. When you leave your identity of the ego, you realize this isn't really a world, because it's a dream in the imagination of God. And because God is the I of every being, no one really suffers. That's part of the illusion. Even your own suffering is an illusion. It's hard to get that because you want to intensely believe in how much you've been hurt. And this justifies many people's life plans. And they never let go, and so the ego congeals around an excuse not to grow. And self-righteously become some kind of a bully, a domination freak within a tiny ego bubble that must karmically pop. And it's much better to pop our own bubble with love than with disaster. But the Dionysian works, so it's ultimately irrelevant, because we are all manifestations of God. And no one dies, no one was born. Consciousness doesn't change. And soon everyone will know that. And there's no reason actually to talk about it, but to be in that state now. So that's the basic approach to freedom that I recommend. The realization that you are already free because you are dreaming this from the still point of your consciousness. And if you will simply abide in that serene center of your being. Just that. Without thinking. You are free. For some, the obstacle is the habitual mental agitation and the ego's resistance to dying into love and into light and into freedom from existence. It wants to cling to that illusion of existence until it can't do it anymore. And then it will open. Like that old Zen master said, you must open the hand of thought, right? But it's actually you must open your heart of its fear and desire and let it go. And then the mind itself will disappear into the infinite. If you are in duality, you can't love yourself because the self you think you are, you think isn't lovable, or it isn't in some way able to live in a state of love. But once you know who you are and that that's what you are, you can release that illusory I. So there must be, in duality, love of what you would call God, or Brahman, or Buddha, or the Absolute, or whatever name you give to that force that can give you the feeling of grace. Feeling of peace, feeling of acceptance, the feeling of safety. Because most of the fear then creates a need to have security in one's life. And the amount of time and mental agitation and planning that goes in to trying to assure that you're secure doesn't leave you the ability to open and know that there's only one security, and that's the realization of God. Nothing else is going to last much longer, including money, including anything you're holding on to for security, unless it's God, unless it's the self. So take refuge, take shelter. And ultimately, be in union with the real. Nothing can stop you but your own lack of will to freedom. Because it's freedom from who you think you are into who you really are. I think that's all I have to say for tonight anyway. Yeah. So I hope that this has been a useful introduction. But let me say this. I know that it was decided to have this as a silent retreat, of course, not in classes. I want you all to feel free to speak up in classes. But outer silence is, you know, that's a necessary but not sufficient condition for your liberation. So what I would like you all to practice, even those online, is the art of staying in the still point of total presence, regardless of what your body is doing. Stay in the still point so there's no inner chatter. There is only presence. And if you will stay in pure presence this weekend, you will be released into the liberated eternal state before the weekend is over. But you have to stay in it constantly until the sanskara, the habit of going back into the ego trying to think its way out of its illusory problems and creating more problems with every thought, until that habit disappears. And what will enable you to stay in the still presence, in that center, more than anything else, is if you allow yourself to realize it's filled with love. It's emanating love. And the love opens the heart and the mind to the infinite. And then the light pours in, because that's all this is. It's just a light show. And then the source of the light becomes realized as the supreme real of what you are. So if you do that, this retreat will be successful. And you'll never have to attend another one. So, if you stay at the still point, at the center of your pure awareness, you will know the divine energy of the presence of the God Self saturating your consciousness with light, with power, with joy, with creativity, with peace. May you all give yourself the grace of that self-liberation, that each of us is responsible for giving to ourselves. The Supreme Intelligence has given us the freedom to choose that and to surrender the ego's illusion of separation, but we have to decide. Do I surrender my heart to the Infinite One, or do I keep it and only love a few people on the world, or your pets, or your, you know, people that you are, or things, or plants, or other things that people can still love, but they can't love humans or themselves. So be in that state of love that's unconditional and constant, without an object and without being a subject, but just love itself. And then the last trace of the I am-ness that was linked to the individual becomes universal, because the love is universal. Namaste.
Namaste.
The floor is open if anyone has any questions or comments. Purusha.
Thank you, Shunya. Thank you for the teaching, and welcome to everyone who's joining us. Tonight we have people tuning in from the UK, Canada, the US, Germany, Peru, Australia, Costa Rica, Mexico, Ireland, and Ethiopia, and we're very happy to have you with us. Our first question comes from Hamid, who asks, my bodily being is facing a chronic illness. It can be quite painful on the physical level and also on the neurological level. How can this situation be used to realize the self all the time?
Take it as a blessing. The very pain itself should be a kind of alarm system for you to remember that we are here only by the grace of God. And it's better to be in a body that's in pain than to be lost in unconsciousness. And that pain, if you'll focus on it from the zero point, you will perceive that the pain is only information. And once you receive the information fully and what the message is that is calling you to hear and to change your existential orientation in order to fulfill the requirements of that message, then you will see the symptom will either dissipate objectively or subjectively will no longer bring suffering. But consider it now, God is calling you to remember that you are not a body, and that the body must be used in the service of God. And it's the service of God is by being in love and emanating God's light and love into the world. That is the most powerful healing force and medicine that can free the body from its underlying karmic reason for holding on to that symptom. And in that state of unconditional love, karma is settled and miraculous healings can happen.
Question from Gordon. A couple of questions. Is Vipassana meditation complementary to being in the zero point? It's the first question.
It depends what you mean by that signifier. The zero point is such that there's no longer an I am. It's pure absolute. So there's no one meditating. It's irrelevant what happens. Vipassana is just a concept, a word. Because in the zero point, you're beyond the mind. You're beyond subject-object observation. You're beyond the illusion that you're a person in a world meditating in order to be liberated. All of that is a fantasy. And so that's what must be let go of.
The next question from Gordon was, how does one know if they've achieved liberation?
There's no one left to ask such a question.
And then a question from Tibby. What is the only part of the body, mind, or ego that is part of God? If I drop it, what would be the point of consciousness? Or what would the point of consciousness of God be?
Repeat that again.
What is the only part of body, mind, or ego that is part of God?
Why do you say there's only one part? We're all God. There's only God. And there actually is no body at all. The body is an appearance in God's imagination that has been corrupted by the ego's attitudes and karmic sanskaras. So the only part of you that is God is your awareness, your consciousness, that is free of all beliefs, including what part of what is God, because God has no parts and reality has no parts. All is a single whole in a total sameness of luminous intensity. There is no differentiation. That habit must be dissolved. No one here has any questions? Okay, you're all liberated. This is wonderful. Go ahead.
Okay, question from Mike. What is the difference between adhitana and vipassana? Can I practice adhitana at home?
You'll have to ask a Buddhist about that. I'm not interested in those technical terms. Be at the zero point. Use whatever technique and whatever signifier you want that helps you to get there. But it's simply the question of being present, free of thought, free of desire, free of fear, in that stillness in which there is no movement of the mind whatsoever. Okay.
Okay, a question from one of our pragyanis, Alan. She says, since my last session, I felt like I was in someone else's dream. As it progressed, I've entered this stage where everything is irritating. In my Jewish studies, it says, go back to the cave. Is that the equivalent of deep meditation in the Eastern teachings?
It depends on how you interpret those words. Plato's myth of the, or allegory of the cave, is probably the most accurate, but that was taken on pretty completely by the Christian mystics as well. It's not really a cave that you go into. It's the infinite sky. Of total luminous presence that has no bodily location. And there are no caves to go into. There's only light. So don't be in a world with caves or one with irritation, because they're all produced by your own mind. Be free of that, and all is revealed.
At the beginning of class, you mentioned, I think you said it in a way to free the mind, to wipe the slate clean. I think it was that. And so the ego immediately thinks of amnesia, mm-hmm. and gets concerned. Can you speak of the difference of what you're,
because
I
That's
don't
think
you're.
That's very funny. Yeah. Because the problem is the ego is in a state of amnesia. The ego has no clue as to the true history of our human species or spirit. It has no understanding of what happened to the cosmos before you were born, really, none. very few people even think about. Why is there an asteroid belt, for example? Was there a planet that exploded, you know? Was there a civilization on Mars that died out? Were there cosmic wars before we even knew the present history? Everything we are taught is totally false. We have no clue to the truth. So that's a kind of a state of amnesia. But what I'm talking about is being in the state of omnesia, in which you realize that everything you believed as an ego is in fact a delusion, and you let it go. And then with new eyes, you will see what is real. And you will see that everything is God, and everything is perfect, and everything is beautiful in its own way. And everything has infinite depth of meaning when you are able to appreciate the infinite consciousness that manifested its truth and beauty in that form. And it's that that enables us to live fully and to live joyously and to live harmoniously with others and to be in the world, as it seems, as we generally agree to call it, without being of it, and therefore to be free of fear of death. And if you're free of fear, you will not create evil, because evil is always a projection of your own fear. And because there's so much fear in the world, everyone now thinks everyone else is evil. That's a form of amnesia, of loss of awareness of our divine nature, and then projecting demonic attitudes and activities that then become self-fulfilling prophecies and actually take place. So we're seeing how that loss of our remembrance of who we are, that omnesia, is the cause of all of our suffering. And when we leave that behind and clean out all the mental chatter, then we will know what's really important, and we will live with the wisdom of the God Self. So you won't end up being some stupid, you know, thing on the floor that can't feed itself or take care of itself, or where was the bathroom again, and, you know, what's my name? No, you won't go through that. You will go through the complete freedom from that limited identity and the realization of the awesomeness of your divine true nature.
Thank goodness. The way I am interpreting this, hearing it, is wiping the slate clean of the beliefs, of the misconceptions, of the projections, all of that gets in the way, that That's clogs right. the mind.
Which is nearly the entire mind mm-hmm. of the ego.
And it all of that is just a block of presence. It keeps one from being present.
That's correct. And it's your shadow. And it's the cause of all suffering and of all bondage and of weakness and limitation. And it keeps you in a state of suffering. So remove it. It's a veil. And then when it's removed, the light will shine fully and you'll be in a state of such blissful liberation that you'll never go back and put more scribbles on the whiteboard. Okay, we're almost out of time, but one more.
Okay, perfect. From one of our pragyanis, Chelsea, thank you for all these insightful teachings tonight. I'm curious if one, in quotation marks, can remain appearing in the dream if they have reached full enlightenment. Or does true remembrance of God dissolve the ego's body image completely? Or do we lay the vessel down on God's time?
It's none of those, really. Because what you need to understand is that every individual consciousness is a monad. And monads, you know, have no windows, as Leibniz famously said. they do receive transmissions from outside their boundaries of energy and vibrational frequencies. But each being is living in its own world of its own imagination at the ego level. And those worlds do not touch, even though you have the images of other beings in your world, but only their images as they are perceived through the veil of projections and preconceptions, etc. And so you don't experience the real until that monadic bubble is popped. And then there's a level of infinity that can grasp the infinities of infinities that are actually present in this panorama of infinite worlds. And it's only then when the perceiver of that disappears into the absolute that is dreaming all of that, that there is complete freedom. Now, I don't know if that answers your question, but the freedom that you are regaining comes from the letting go of any belief in your existence in a world. And it's only the consciousness being liberated from those limited event horizons of your belief system that will bring about knowledge of the real self. I hope that's helpful to you, Chelsea. How many felt tonight was helpful to you? Yeah? Okay. I'm glad. Take it very seriously that you are already liberated because bondage is an illusion. It's a belief. Let go of that belief, and freedom is what you are. It's that simple. Nothing needs to be done. It's purely a letting go. And because only you can let go of yourself into your real self, you can't look really for help outside, because even what you think is outside is inside, because there is no outside. And therefore, there's really no inside. And when you understand that, there is no one even who needs to make any effort even to let go of anything. Even that last little act of thinking I am letting go is already still dipped in the illusion. And so it's the freedom from the I thought that is all that you will ever know as the real. But once you have entered the real through that freedom, the infinite secrets of the production of realities all are revealed along with that revelation of the self. And so it's a state of endless fascination. In the encounter with the ever-expanding consciousness that is the intelligence of God returning fully to itself. And in that process, completely dissolving the illusion of a world. This is the most loving way to release all souls, to complete the mission of a bodhisattva, who must have compassion for souls that one knows do not really exist. Because compassion, love, is your nature. And the expansion of that energy of love is what brings about the glory of God's presence to dissolve all darkness and suffering and time and space itself into the unmanifest. Blessings for your self-liberation. Namaste.